Welcome to Workplace English Pod, a great way to improve your English on the go. Workplace English Pod is brought to you by Workplace English Training e-Platform, the Internet's largest business English resource for learners and teachers of business English. You can subscribe to Workplace English Training e-Platform at www.workplace-english-training.com and get access to podcast transcripts, study notes, interactive exercises, and thousands of additional resources in the training center. Handling serious disagreement. Internal disputes may arise in your workplace when two people are hostile toward each other's opinions, or if they cannot work out a disagreement. When handling a serious disagreement between two people, you should ensure that you listen to each person's point of view and try to arrive at a consensus that will be agreeable to both of them. You can do this by using sympathetic language that shows them both that you are respectful of their points of view. Try to find a consensus of opinion that is agreeable to both parties and which shows them how to work out a compromise. Stress the fact that it is important to work out the dispute in a harmonious way so that their work does not suffer. You will now listen to a conversation in which James, a vice president at an investment consultancy, tries to work out a dispute between Jack and Eliza, two project managers. Eliza, Jack, I'm glad you could both join me today. Let's see if we can find a solution to this crisis. Eliza, can I hear your point of view first?
I've had it with Jack, James. I told him from the very start of this project that we needed to outsource the accounting, but he wouldn't listen. Now he's determined to blame me for the errors in the calculation.
Errors are errors, Eliza. You should have double-checked before handing the figures to me.
How many things do you expect me
Hold on, Eliza. Let's try to get through this calmly, shall we? Jack, did Eliza specifically ask you not to give her team the accounts work for the project?
She did, but she's always trying to reduce their workload. That's just not acceptable.
Just a minute, Jack. Eliza, were there errors in the calculations?
Yes, but...
Let me try to understand what's happened here, Eliza. Why do you think there were errors?
Because we're research editors, James. We just don't have the time and resources for these sorts of calculations. We did the best we could, given the tight deadline.
I see. Jack, were you aware of the constraints in this case?
I was told that their team could handle the task.
This just isn't acceptable, James. We made it clear that we couldn't handle the entire workload for the project.
What isn't acceptable to me is that you handed in the figures without bothering to...
Just a minute, both of you. Let's not focus on what's already been done. Eliza, what do you think can be done to rectify the problem?
Well, we can redo the figures over the next couple of days, I suppose.
Excellent. Jack, is that agreeable to you?
No way. I need those figures now.
It'll have to do this time, Jack. And Eliza, in the future, I want you to be personally responsible for conducting quality checks before work is submitted.
I will, James, provided we are given a fair workload.
I want to place my protest against this on record. This is a big setback for the project.
I'll make a note of your concerns, both of you. And Jack, in the future, I'd like you to check with me before assigning work. In this dialogue, we see James mediating a dispute between Eliza and Jack. He ensures that he gives them both a turn to speak, and leaves them both with the assurance that he has considered both their positions. James begins the meeting by thanking both Eliza and Jack for coming in, setting a courteous and friendly tone at the start. He then quickly gets to the topic by saying, "Let's see if we can find a solution to this crisis." He could also have said, "Let's see if we can work this out calmly," or "Let's try to find a reasonable solution to this." He then invites Eliza to express her opinion by saying, "Eliza, can I hear your point of view first?" By using the word "first," he is also letting Jack know that he will be given his turn to speak. Next, we see that James quickly interrupts when it seems like Jack and Eliza are going to start arguing. He cuts in when Eliza starts speaking and says, "Hold on, Eliza, let's try to get through this calmly, shall we?" By not giving the two colleagues the chance to get into hostilities, he brings their attention back to the fact that they are there to resolve the dispute as amicably as possible. Soon after, we find James interrupting again to ensure that he keeps the peace. This time he says,
Let me try to understand what's happened here, Eliza. By saying this, he lets Eliza know that he is not interrupting because he doesn't want to hear what she has to say, but rather because he wants to clarify what exactly happened. He spells this out by asking her, "Why do you think there were errors?" By using the phrase, "Do you think?" he makes sure that she knows that he is interested in her opinion. At the same time, he keeps the focus on the discussion by mentioning that there were errors. After receiving Eliza's response, James uses the phrase, "I see," to show that he has understood her point of view. He then clarifies what she has said with Jack by asking him, "Jack, were you aware of the constraints in this case?" A phrase such as, "Were you aware?" can be used to clarify if someone knew about something without hurting the feelings of either party. This is less direct than saying, "Did she tell you about this?" which may sound accusatory. James then does two significant things. First, by saying, "Let's not focus on what's already done," he emphasizes that the point of the meeting is to take the situation forward in a positive way. He then invites Eliza to give her point of view on what can be done to resolve the problem by saying, "Eliza, what do you think can be done to rectify the problem?" This prompts Eliza to think about the problem itself rather than her strong feelings about being treated unfairly. By shifting the focus onto practical solutions rather than talking about the emotional aspects of the problem, you may be able to prompt the listeners to approach the situation more objectively. James also ensures that he asks Jack about his opinion by saying, "Jack, is that agreeable to you?" Jack's response, "No way," shows that he strongly objects to Eliza's proposed solution. James quickly follows up by telling Eliza that she will have to be more careful about quality checks in the future, showing Jack that he does not intend to disregard Jack's concern over her mistake. At the end, he uses the phrase, "I'll make a note of your concerns," to show them both that he will keep their respective points of view in mind. You are now going to listen to a conversation between Andrew, the designer in charge of the graphics team at an advertising agency, and Debbie and Tom, two employees who work under Andrew. Thanks for being here today, both of you. This is the third time this month you've both come to me with grievances about your work together, and I think it's best if we sit down together and work this out.
I appreciate your concern, Andrew, but I really don't think this will work.
I second that. It's almost impossible for me to work with her, Andrew.
Well, at least you're both agreed on that. That's a good start. Debbie, what do you think the problem is?
Where do I start? He's always commenting on my work, putting me down in front of the team, making snide remarks behind my back.
That's not true. I don't talk about you behind your back.
Well, Sally told me you said...
Debbie, let's not consider what others may have said, shall we? Can you explain to me in one sentence exactly what you're upset about?
Like I said, he's always putting me down.
We'll come back to that, Debbie. Tom, what seems to be bothering you?
Nothing. I don't have a problem with her.
I see. Debbie, can you give me a specific example of what you mean?
Well, he called my last design incompetent.
That's not exactly what I said. I thought it was below standard, and I voiced that opinion.
That's exactly what you said. Incompetent.
I'd like to assure you that I hired both of you because you are both very competent at what you do. Speaking for myself, I find your work exemplary, and I think it would be best for everyone if you could keep your personal opinions about each other out of the workplace.
It's difficult to do that when someone else is constantly making negative comments about your work, Andrew.
Like I said already, I don't have a problem with you. If you can't take constructive criticism on your work,
Tom, maybe you can hold back from commenting on Debbie's work. And Debbie, I would ask you to be objective about what is said about your work. Can we agree to do that?
Sure. That's fine with me, Andrew.
I'll try my best to ignore what anyone else says.
Sometimes a crisis occurs because of a clash in personalities rather than a practical problem. In such a case, it is best to try to get both parties to communicate with each other and to focus on a pleasant working environment. Here, Andrew is trying to mediate a discussion between two colleagues who obviously cannot get along with each other, and who probably will not be able to work out their problems together without external help. Andrew begins the meeting by pointing out to both Tom and Debbie that he has called for the meeting because their quarrels are increasing in number. He also points out that their grievances are about their work together, suggesting that the focus of the discussion should be about their working together rather than their opinions about each other. When they both say that they think his attempt is a waste of time, he makes a joke about it to lighten the mood. He says, "Well, at least you're both agreed on that. That's a good start." Although it is not advisable to make light of a serious issue, it may serve as an icebreaker to lighten the mood and to suggest that the problem is not unsolvable. Andrew then invites Debbie to give her opinion on the situation by asking, "Debbie, what do you think the problem is?" When Debbie begins talking about what she has heard from someone else, Andrew quickly interrupts to bring the focus back on her opinion. He also prompts her to explain concisely what the problem is by saying, "Can you explain to me in one sentence exactly what you're upset about?" He then asks Tom the same thing by saying, "Tom, what seems to be bothering you?" Tom does not make the situation any easier by denying that he has a problem with Debbie. To get a better perspective on the situation, Andrew asks Debbie to give him a specific example of what she means. In this case, the only common ground that Andrew can find from which to work out a consensus is to assure both Tom and Debbie that their work is beyond fault. This is also an indirect way of assuring Debbie that he does not agree with Tom's opinion that she is an incompetent designer. He emphasizes this by saying, "Speaking for myself, I find your work exemplary." By using the words "speaking for myself," he ensures that they know that no matter what they may think of each other, he does not have any individual concerns about either of them. He then suggests that they can keep their personal opinions from affecting their work by saying, "I think it would be best for everyone if you could keep your personal opinions about each other out of the workplace." At the end of the discussion, Andrew addresses both Tom and Debbie individually to ensure that they each understand that they have to work together to improve the situation. He also ends by saying, "Can we agree to do that?" By using "we," he suggests that the problem belongs to everyone, and that it is for everyone's benefit that it should be resolved. Both only agree reluctantly to consider Andrew's advice, but the fact that he has got them to sit down and voice their concerns about each other seems to be a starting point for them to address the issue and work towards resolving it. Handling serious disputes is a significant aspect of conflict resolution in the workplace. Although some disputes cannot be handled alone, you should try to avoid further conflicts between employees by identifying their concerns and trying to work out a compromise and arrive at a consensus that is acceptable to everyone concerned. Remember that the goal is not to get your employees or team members to like you, but to find a common ground from which to argue for a sensible solution that both parties can agree to. You can usually convince both to agree with you if you use conciliatory language that makes them feel that you are interested in their opinions and that your solution is the best possible scenario for everyone concerned.
You can subscribe online at www.workplace-english-training.com.